Welcome to the Fit Identity Podcast. I'm Mike Karpenko, your host. I talk everything in the main areas of think, eat, and move. My goal is for you to think better, eat better, move more. All three of those things combined can help you live a healthy and fulfilling life. Today, I want to talk about the trends of 2025 in the health and fitness business, the industry. And I want to talk about what you should be aware of going into 2025, looking for what could help you, maybe some of the things that we can look back on 2024, what had happened and what's going to evolve and what's going to disappear. But I want to jump right in and just dive in and start talking about it. I did this last year and I want to talk and just give you some of the lists of the things that I briefly spoke about in 2024. Everywhere from you're going to see a push into mental health, hormone therapy, body positivity, the GLP-1s, the semaglutides, the Ozempics were going to come up. You're going to get AI, nootropics. You're going to see catchy slogans that were going to happen in 2023-24. You were also going to see moderation come around. Influences, you know, influencers versus experts was a big deal in 2024. Will that continue into 2025? Specificity started to rear its head and, you know, people wanting solutions for themselves and not just the general solution. And then cold plunge and data. Those are some of the things that I spoke about as happening in 2024. I will just quickly say this. I don't want to say this. I'm just going to go right in. I'm just going to say it. I think that mental health dies, and I'm going to talk to you about it. So before you switch off, give me a chance to explain what I mean by saying I think mental health is going to push away in 2025. I think that AI is going to be huge, and it's going to be an evolution. I do believe that you'll still see the continued use of hormones, hormone therapy, GLP-1s are going to come around. There will be an interesting switch of influencers, experts, and how experts now are and where you get your information from is going to be interesting and how you use it. I think that specificity will continue on and it will evolve. And then I think that there will be new things that we'll talk about as far as biohacking and what that will mean and, you know, what will be the new areas of thought process into what's going to happen. But I just want to get right into it because I know your time's important and I don't want to overdo things. And some of the things that I've been learning in 2024, it's really good to be direct. It's, in, you know, and to cut out some of the fat, even though storytelling is kind of cool, you know, having arcs and understanding to keep people aware. I also think there's a point of being very direct and getting right to the point. So I value your time and I appreciate you listening and I value you as a follower. So reach out. Let me know. Let's create conversation. If I don't already know you or if I do know you, reach out to me, you know, on my Instagram. That's where I'm mostly at. And let's have a conversation. Let's either reconnect, connect. I hate that term, connect. The hell, let's connect. Just hit me up. Moving on. All right. So here's what I think going into 2025. Let's get some of the big picture things away first. I think the biggest word of 2025 is going to be awareness. I think that you've got a lot of people becoming aware. I think that there's going to be transparency. Things are going to get uncovered. I think you've got more on a consumer that is more aware. I think you're going to have corporations that are aware. I think that you also are going to see government and politics aware, and they're going to be held accountable. I do believe that all of us will be held more accountable, whether it's by ourselves or by an outside, you know, force. I don't believe that it's going to be as much in the public pressure, but I think there will be accountability reached back into our, you know, into the health and fitness business. But I do think the theme of an aware person, aware consumer, and an aware corporation is a much healthier place and stance to be. And I think that more people are educated, which means they're aware. I think that more people are going to have that knowledge, are going to be able to do a little bit more research, are going to, you know, have done a lot of that in 2024. I think that the awareness factor and dealing with an aware consumer, an aware patient, customer, client is going to be on the rise. So if you are someone providing products and services, be aware that you're going to be dealing with more and more people that are aware, even though I don't feel they're educated enough. I just don't feel the general public is educated enough. I think it's much more educated and aware as of today. The second thing that I want to bring up is I do feel that the standard of health, we're going to start to hold one, you know, in general. I do think that there will be a, you know, a general, and I don't mean that like you're going to go look and there's going to be a pyramid or a graph or whatnot. I do believe that there will be a level of standard of being healthy, you know, and what I'm going to say to that is being well. I think that the next big word for 2025 is wellness. And to just clear that up, what I said earlier about mental health, I think mental health is dead. Only because I think that mental health traditionally has attached that it is a diagnosis, and it's a little bit harder for traditional and older people to wrap their heads around. And I think that a younger generation is weaponizing it, you know, and there's, it's my mental health. It's my mental health. I think that there's both sides to this that need work. Okay. And I think both sides have used it and have used it incorrectly. I do believe that there's a diagnosis, and I think that we all know the meaning of it, but the meaning isn't fitting where the stance is. And that's causing a clash of communication and understanding. And I think that what we're really talking about is wellness. Okay. I think that what we are talking about is our overall wellness, like how we look, how we feel, how we move, our abilities to move, how we're sleeping, our relationships, you know, however you want to put that, spiritual, financial, partner to partner. We're looking to be well. We are not looking at our mental health. We are looking at all these aspects, and the real truth is our wellness. And I've mentioned this in the past, and I do believe this and stand on this, is that there is a recipe to being healthy and well. And I don't necessarily believe that recipe with its ingredients are the same for every person. Do I think that there are some standard ingredients? Sure are. Do I think that my ingredients and the amount of those ingredients are the same that are in your recipe? No, I don't. And that's where I think that we're going to come to acceptance of that your recipe and my recipe are different. And that's okay. And that's the awareness that I'm talking about, that you being healthy for you, we're aware of that now. We're not holding you against the you know, the U.S. standard of if you're not this body fat, this height, this weight, you know, this ability. We're not holding that as the gold standard. We're now looking at it saying, hey, you know, you could be a mom of four and you know, you could be healthy, you know, at different weights and heights and all kinds of different things. You could be a dad that works 70 hours and be healthy at different. I just believe that we're going to be aware. And I believe that most people that feel unseen or did feel unseen in the past now don't necessarily feel seen. They just feel even. And I'm really happy about that, to be honest with you. I mean, we're all different in ways that we are. And I just don't think that there's going to be so much division of you're not this way, therefore you don't fit in. And I think that because we've all now become aware, and that there are all kinds of different shapes and sizes and groups and standards in general, that everybody's going to be okay a little bit more and less on edge, which I'm very excited about, especially in the health world. I'm excited for the people that are struggling with their weight, whether it be over or under, body fat, higher or lower, and abilities. But I do think there will be a little bit of a self-imposed standard of you knowing what you want to be able to be. So I do think wellness is the word and not mental health. I think it's wellness. And to those struggling with mental health, you know, honestly, my heart goes out to you. I know that that's a very difficult place to be because I've seen it. It's been in my family and it's tough. So I speak from that. I don't speak medically. I speak from experience. So I think that that's a pretty good basis to kind of look at. Another big thing before I get into some of the, you know, the nitpicker, more the detailed ideas, I think hard and strong are going to come back into play in health and growth and evolution. I think we've been comfortable. I think that we understand that when we're comfortable, we grow in ways that we didn't control. Even though we did control it, we ultimately were growing in ways that kind of grew on us rather than we promoted that growth. So when we do hard things, we're able to experience and grow, and we're able to more or less control the direction of growth. And I know I'm kind of talking in circles, because if you don't do it, you know, you control the choice of not doing it, and then you would control that ability to grow in a different direction. But what I'm saying is I think we become aware that when we do hard things, we can grow in directions that are really positive for our wellness. And I think that that's important to note, that we're at that point of knowing, yeah, I got to do some hard things. And we're going to respect strong, and that is strong wellness, right? You're going to have a strong mental game. You're going to have a strong physical game. You're going to have a strong, physical presence. You're going to have you're going to have strong skills. I think that strong is coming back into play in 2025. And when I say that, I will push into, I think strong men. I think men that are strong are going to come back. I think the dad bod will still exist to some level, but I think a strong dad bod will be great. I think any male that has not been feeling strong is going to feel a really good, safe way of coming out of that and wanting the momentum to push into being a stronger husband, a stronger father figure, more well, more fit, eating better. I think that you're going to see strong men rise in the health and fitness industry. I think you're going to see that. Not necessarily abs, but I do feel abs are coming back. I think that people are going to recognize that as a sign of hard work. They're not going to say that you're better than me or worse than me. It's just going to be like, respect. I put respect on you for putting that time and effort in, and I hope that you are putting that time and effort into other areas of your life as well. I think that's the kind of respect and awareness that people are going to start to look at, and I do believe strong is coming back and strong men, because, you know, women has had this great run, and they will continue to have a great run. And again, there was a needed of awareness to happen, right? And I think the evening out where men were working and overworking and just letting themselves go and not putting that as a priority of being strong, I think it's coming back to them saying, hey, you know what? I'm a strong dude. I have strong convictions. I have strong values. I have strong character. I want to match that with my body, with my abilities, with my next one. I think blood work. I think the data went from electronics to actual blood work data. I think we'll still have a push into that electronic data, but I think there are a lot of people that understood they were in the zip code of being healthy or sleeping or caloric burn or macros. I do believe that most people are like, as long as I'm in that zip code, I still live in the neighborhood of healthy and fit. Now I believe people are going to do that with their blood work. I think blood work is going to be on a rise, and your job will be to find someone that is in line with your goals, that also has clients like you, patients like you, and not just everyday average patient that sees everybody else. Like if you're an older generation person, if you're a senior, you should see someone that sees seniors. You shouldn't see a pediatrician. If you see some, if you're fit, you should someone who sees fit people, and so on down the line. I do believe that people are going to look to control their cholesterol. They're going to look at the markers and they're going to say, what do I need to do in order to get that as those numbers, those markers in line? That's going to be the new data, you know, the push of 2025. So I can be in the zip code. They're not going to push for perfect. They're going to be like, oh, I notice cholesterol's off. Oh, I notice testosterone is off. Why is it off? Thyroid is off. Insulin, estradiol, prostate stuff, red blood cells, white blood cells, all these things that are markers for people. They're going to be like, I need to be in a good zip code. You know, I need to be in a good school system for my kids. And maybe that's a really good way of putting it. I need to live in a good school district. Don't have to have the biggest house or the best house. I just got to make sure that I live in that zip code so that my kids can go to a great school. And I do believe blood work is going to, it's going to be a North Star this year. It's going to be the ultimate North Star. So go get your blood work done. I'm an advocate. I get mine done anywhere from 2 to 3 times a year, depending. And I'm always working on different phases, depending on my blood or depending on my goals. But I always want to make sure, how did that phase affect my blood work? And, you know, where am I at? Especially if I changed my diets, my sleep habits, or if I'm training for something specific, where am I at? Do I need a reset? Did I improve? And I think that people are going to push into that. So hit your doctor up, get that done. And, let's make sure that that happens for you. Okay. Blood work is I think that blood work is going to be great for everybody, but it will be a North Star. But again, find somebody that can read it and, which will lead into this. I think there are a lot of people reading blood work right now. And although the HRT, TRT, the hormone therapy is on the rise. I mean, if you had a hormone business in 2024, you were writing scripts everywhere. You were telling everybody that they needed to be on, therapy. You're like, oh, you're a little low here, and people are just getting it, everybody. And I think what happened is that it happened, and that was the same with semaglutide and the GLP-1s, you know. But let's first talk hormones. I think that hormones are going to be a little bit more dialed in and specific. I think that a lot of people hid in their hormone therapy use, and they were quiet users, whether it was just on their own because they didn't want to tell people, and because they thought they would be saucy or juiced up or cheating or not healthy, or they were unsure of whether or not they were safe. I think a lot of people hid that. I do believe that there will be more public knowledge and more outing to say, yeah, I'm on hormone therapy, I'm on peptides, I'm taking this and that. It's going to be a little bit more, and I think it's a lot more actually, acceptable for people to be on these things and to promote it and just say, that's just what I'm doing, rather than hiding it and say, no, I'm just on the carnivore diet. No, I just been doing this workout for 30 days, or I just drink this shake and you look at me, I'm great. That's over. You know, I think that a lot more people are going to come forward and say, oh man, especially the business builders, right? The people that are building business, they're going to have to come forward because they've been doing it one way and now they got to change and evolve their business. Well, how do you do that? You become more vulnerable and tell them what you've really been doing. So I do believe that's going to happen. I feel that in 2024 with hormone therapy, I do believe that there is overuse. This is my own personal opinion. I do believe that in America, we are the type of people that if one is good, two is better. And that's where you saw the overuse in hormone therapy and GLP-1s. I do think that when you watch it, you can see people, they get caught up into it. The results happen. These things work. That is the number one problem with these things, is that majority of the time, they work on the majority amount of people. So when you say that, when they work too good. And when people go into that, if one is good, two is that much better, they double treat themselves. You know, they don't listen to what the doctor says. It's just an American way of doing things, is be like gluttony. And you can see it. You can easily see where you're like, oh, that guy in the gym, he is saucy. He's like super red, super ripped, just dialed in. You know, he's got veins out of his mind, and you know, he's got this big bulgy stomach, and you know, but it's lean. You know, you can just see it. Let me just say, there's a paper thinness. And you're like, okay, he's on the juice, but he's not going to say it. And he's probably using too much because it works and it's addictive. You're like, it's great. I love it. Right. And so I think that where they combine multiple, they stack it, right? Like, oh, I'm on, you know, testosterone and then I'm on this peptide and that peptide and that peptide and that peptide and that peptide, you know. It's a stack. That's what doctors do. They like to say, this will stimulate, this will put you to sleep, this will do that. I think that people are going to become more aware and they're going to understand what they need and what they don't and how to live in a zip code. The GLP-1s, let's just move into those. I do believe that they were at an ultimate high last year because they were new and they worked. And if you, most of you don't know who that, what that is, it's semaglutide, Ozempic. It's the insulin resistance medication that was used for weight loss and to deal with insulin levels in your body that they were using for anybody in insulin, right? Or for weight loss. And basically people started using it and they're like, I'm gonna, you know, again, if one is good, you know, two is better. And they thought that that would be the only thing that they needed to do to stay healthy and fit. And then they overused it and they used it too often and too much. And you could see it happening, which I said it, alien face, you know, maybe a year and a half ago, that's what happens with these people. They get alien face because it works so well. It literally depletes you from caloric deficit where you're not eating as much, not doing any strength training, and you're not taking in a dense nutrition, and your body kind of looks a little emaciated, and it starts in the face, and you get this, you know, pinned down look where you're like, oh my gosh, like they're on the GLP-1. Like they just can't hide it. And they don't know that it's happening. It's body dysmorphia. You know, they're looking at the scale. They're looking at the, you know, the size of their pants, the dress, whatever it is, the coats that they wear. And they're like, it's smaller. Oh my God. And people are going, oh my gosh, you look smaller. Oh my gosh, you look different. People are making a comment. And that's what they were hoping to get was this affirmation, whether it's on social media or in person, and that affirmation is fuel to keep using, and then they use more. And I believe that that is something that, you know, happened in the semaglutide world, or I mean in the GLP-1 world, is this misuse, overuse, and then they created this non-healthy, non-well looking body, which I do believe now these GLP-1s will still be used, but they're going to be used more sparingly, and they're going to be used in because people were able to see the unhealthy look. They're like, oh, I got to combat this. How do I do that? Well, you got to be better nutrition. You got to eat some more dense nutrition. You know, you don't eat much, but the nutrition that you do, it's got to be dense, and you got to strength train. If not, you're going to go through a lot of, you know, muscle atrophy, and you're going to lose that muscle. That's been the number one issue with GLP-1 users, is that they lose muscle, not weight, muscle. You know, that muscle to fat ratio is off. You know, you want a higher loss in fat than you do in muscle, and the muscle is being lost because of the misuse. That's it. And when I say misuse, let's categorize that. It's either the overuse or it's the only use, and you're like, I don't have this health recipe and I'm using it only as the only ingredient in my recipe. And that's the recipe idea, right? Like you've got all these things that go into your, you know, your ingredients that go into your recipe. And if you put too many chocolate chips in a chocolate chip cookie, it's not going to taste good, and you're not going to eat it. No matter who you are, it's just not going to happen. And, you know, it's going to be like, oh, wow, like that's an awful cookie. There's a sweet spot. And some will be a little bit more. Some will be a little bit less. Some will have more flour. Some will have more butter, a little bit more. But an overuse just turns it into a meal that's not edible, a healthy wellness meal that's not good for you. That recipe is junk, to be honest with you. And I think that these users, as much as they saw that the use happen, I do believe that there will be growth happening in a better, healthy recipe with ingredients. And you'll see these ingredients now, like strength training, better eating, and still you'll see the use, and maybe a lesser use, lesser dosages. I don't use it. I don't prescribe it. I'm not on the GLP plan, but I do know that there's multiple uses for it, whether it's weight loss or brain or, you know, long-term. I don't know. So I can't say anything more than what I've heard, who I've talked to, doctors and such, that that's the issues. Okay, so those are the GLP-1s, I think. Oh, another big word for this year, let me throw this, I think I said it earlier, acceptance, right? Like, we're going to accept a lot of differences, and people are going to be on that even territory, you know, that even ground. Like, we accept, you know, people want to look and think and act and move and eat the way that they want to. And you're going to be like, that's just who they are. And that's cool. And the ones that we're judging before are going to accept. And the ones that felt unaccepted are going to feel accepted because no one's not accepting them. And they're going to be like, yeah, I just accept you for who you are. And I don't have to tell you about who I am. So that's a big thing. I think, you know, when we start talking about influencers and experts, let's talk about that real quickly. Last year was about experts, and the experts were about being experts. They're like, this is the research out of Ohio State, out of Florida State. We took this many people and did this many things, and this is what happened, and this is where it happened. It was just overbearing. You know, the comments, where's the research on it? I mean, there was so much of that. That's what created the awareness. And I think that separated the influencer from the expert. The expert really wanted to alpha the influencer. And the influencer is like, well, you know what? I got 2 million views. You only have 30,000. But the expert's like, yeah, well, I'm right and you're wrong. So I'm going to show you the research. This push-pull relationship between the influencer and the expert has now come down to consumer control. And I do believe that the fact that consumers are more aware, they're more educated, I do believe that you're going to see experts still be credible, but they're going to less alpha people. I think that you're just going to understand who is an expert and who is an influencer. That understanding and awareness, we've jumped that bridge, we've crossed that bridge to understand that's a pop-up. That's somebody who's just on a soapbox or has an agenda, and they're going to push it. And that awareness, it comes in the form of being like, I understand it, and it's going to be better for me not to listen to these people and these flash in the darks. And I think that trends and agendas are over. As much as trendy things are and talking about trends, I think the awareness of the consumer is going to end trends a lot faster. So trends will be here, and trends are only good if they're a good thing and they stick around and they no longer become a trend. But I do believe that trends and agenda pushers, like soapboxers that are like so hard in the paint on one thing, just hard, I think that those are going to be the questionables. They're going to have their niche market, but most people are going to shine away from them and be like, I get it. You push one thing. Doubling back on the blood work and the TRT and the GLP-1s, I think that insulin resistance and understanding your insulin resistance will dominate over thyroid issues. I think that everyone who used to say, I got a thyroid problem, it's my thyroid, my thyroid's interacting. And the thyroid is a piece of, you know, an intricate piece of blood work and knowledge and understanding. But everyone now is going to switch this eyeball and this attention into insulin resistance. It's just going to replace it. No, actually, the reason wasn't my thyroid. It was that I was insulin resistant. So I do think that you're going to hear that term quite a bit in 2025. You'll hear less thyroid. You'll hear more hormone, and then you'll hear insulin resistance. That's what I think is what you're going to hear. From a push. I think also what you're going to see this year is a push for more whole foods, less processed foods, and you're going to see obviously a push towards holding companies, corporations, manufacturers accountable for the amount of ingredients and the types of ingredients that that processed foods have. I think that you have an aware consumer that is now like, I'm going to push back by not buying your products. I'm not going to buy your things. I'm going to go to the farmers more. I'm going to do the best that I can, which means you're going to see a hit to these people who manufacture over processed foods. And you're going to see a real big push, both from the government side and the consumer side, onto corporations that are providing this food. And this awareness is going to be incredible. I do believe that we're moving into a healthier country. I just do. I think we're sick. I think that that's why I'm saying blood work has become the new norm, the standard, because we're not hacking anymore. We're realizing we're overweight, we're under moving, we're not thinking well, you know, we've got issues, we're not well. And I do believe we're looking at how to make us healthier in general, and how to deal with our wellness because we're sick. And part of that is understanding the things, like, you know, the big P word, that it has little things that you take in your mouth that you can only get prescribed. I think that's going to be more accountability there. But in our food in general, I do believe there are coming for toxic food. You know, we've dealt with toxic, you know, products, supplements. It's coming for food. And I do believe coming for toxic food from every direction is going to be a big push, which means a heightened sense of awareness, which means you're going to have a different buying behavior and a different focus for people to be healthy. Because again, they're looking to live in the healthy zip code, and you know, they'll still buy some of it, but they won't buy as much of it, of that food that's being pressed. I know I'm going back on this, and I said trends, you know, trends are done. I think coming up with these cute, stupid slogans is out. Like, it's just catchphrases to sell stuff. That's all it is. Trying to reinvent and become, I think health esteem is crazy. I'm just going to say that. It's silly. The health industry, you know, is blowing by that. It's not health esteem, it's wellness. And I want to be clear on that. And I'm not taking shots at anybody in particular. There's several companies that pushed into it. None did well. None. Because nobody really understood it, and the words didn't go together. We're talking wellness, you know, and I think that if we tackle things from a wellness standpoint, we're not talking about a trend, we're talking about a movement. We're talking about, you know, human health. That's what we're really talking about. And I do believe we're getting to that point where people obviously want to live longer, right? So that's what we're talking about. I don't believe we're talking about vitality. I think vitality is off the table. I think biohacking is going to still be around, but I think it's niche-based biohacking. I think what's going to happen is that you're going to see a lot of biohackers go after specifics. You know, how to biohack your teeth, how to biohack your liver, your kidneys. You know, I think we're going to talk about, you're going to see a big push in the supplement world around mitochondria and cell health. You're going to see a monster push in human cell health and, you know, how to get new cells, how to get rid of old cells, how to create healthy cells so that you can live a healthier, well life. I do believe that you're going to see that. As far as the supplement world, I do believe that you're going to see an interesting money grab in the supplement world. I think that in the fitness world, you're going to see things where supplements start to name their companies start to name their supplements around, you know, these HRTs, these TRTs, these GLP-1s, where, you know, instead of it being a testo booster, like testosterone booster, it's going to be like, what do you got? Semaglutide. It's going to be like testotide. So it's going to be this interesting mash of supplement names to confuse you that it's not a peptide, you know, it's an over-the-counter healthy thing. It is a testosterone booster, but it's not TRT, but you can get it from us, and it's called Testotide. If it's not out there already, then there you go. That's the name. And I'm not promoting, if it is out there, I'm not promoting Testotide. Backtrack. You know, I know I'm backtracking a lot, but I want to make sure I cover as much as I possibly can with you guys. Peptides. I know that like I said, HRT, TRT, peptides. There's a push right now for these the biopeptides, that they are plant-derived and, you know, they are specific to help you do certain things, just like a peptide would. And they're pulling these amino acids, you know, and they have a process to pull amino acids from, you know, plants to be able to help you. I don't know enough about it. Do I think it's going to be a big push in the supplement industry? Sure. I mean, when you have something that's needs a prescription, you know, in order to get, why not make something that you don't need a prescription to get. Play on that, right? I do think that that will be a trend. I'm not trying to be mean. I think it'll be good for a while, and maybe a year, 18 months, and I think it'll be like keto. I think that biopeptides will exist. I don't know enough about them. So come at me, educate me, tell me whatever you want. I'm giving you my thoughts. I don't necessarily know that it's going to do well. It's got possibilities. How about that? It's got possibilities of doing well. I just don't think that it's the end all be all answer. But hey, if there's a plant way of doing things that could help people, I'm all for it. Like, let's go. But I don't know. I don't think there's enough research on it. But they said the same thing about creatine, right? Creatine was a supplement that, you know, everyone's like, oh, it's like steroids and you shouldn't use it. We don't have enough research on it and it's awful. And, you know, and now everyone's taking it. You know, like right now it's 5 to 10 grams of creatine a day, and senior women are taking it more and more, you know, because apparently, you know, it's helping these senior women with their, you know, retain their muscle and recover and brain cognitive thought process. You know, there's a lot of great things out of creatine that people didn't even think, but they wanted to hate on it right away. So I'm not hating on this bioavailable peptides, but I'm not sold on it yet, you know, not for what it is and not for the price point. I'm telling you that straight up. I don't think that these bioavailable peptides should be sold at that price point. Like, geez, at the same price as a peptide, just buy the peptide. If that's what you want to do, you know, like, I think that that's, you know, a big thing. I do think the standard of health is coming back. I think being fit is going to be good. I think people want to be fit. I said this last year, you know, when body positivity came out and whatnot. I think body positivity came out because there was a group of people that weren't positive about their bodies and weren't happy about their bodies, but were feeling pressure that because they didn't look and feel a certain way, that maybe they didn't live up to the standard. And I think because we have this level of, you know, success, I mean, of acceptance right now, that I do think that we're looking at a, you know, a health standard that people are like, no, I want to be better. I want to lose weight. I want to be more fit. You know, the GLP-1 people are like, I want muscle. I don't want to look as though I haven't worked out in years and that I just lost all my weight. Nobody wants that. Everybody wants to get out of the shower and be like, I feel good. I look good. I talk good. I am good. You know, that's what people want. And there is a standard to that, to some level. And I do believe that people will be working on their own personal standard this year rather than just letting themselves go and then classifying that standard as okay. I don't believe that is a good thing, because people are understanding that as you get older, you're going to do less and less. So you have to prepare for that. You have to be fit. You have to be able. You have to be able to be mobile. You have to be eating. Your organs have to work well. They can't be shutting down. You cannot be in constant reduction and think that you're going to live a long life, no matter what it is, right? So I do believe people are looking at, wow, things in my life are reducing, and I need to stop that reduction. So I do believe a standard of health is coming back to what they have. I do believe personal solutions, and that will be, again, your standard of health, but people want their solution. Blood work, that's why it's going to happen. You know. So I think coaches, mentors, trainers, nutritionists, people that understand certain supplements go with you and how they go together with you and your goals and how to bring up numbers and how they're digested and when to take them. I think that's going to be very valuable information. And it's not going to come from AI, but AI is going to be very important in 2025 because it's been used. A lot of people have been using it, you know, as at a lower cost to help their customers. And people that don't want to pay for health and fitness plans or nutrition plans, they just go to ChatGPT and sign in and say, give me this for this long. And they're able to have some sort of sustainable system or program that is going to happen for them. But I do believe you're going to see these tiered programs where AI is amazing. It's going to help you in different levels. And then you're going to pay a premium for personal time. You're gonna, for a trainer, for a coach, for a mentor, in order to really get their time, you're going to pay. you know, because they can do it all through AI now, and they're going to be able to pump out so much more material. But if you want someone to really analyze you and your blood and work with you and work with what AI told you to do, then you're going to need someone who's had real experience with someone who's exactly like you to help you out. So I do believe AI, it's coming. It's not going to slow down. It's going to get even higher and more widely used. So AI will be used more. I think that fitness is going to be fun. 2025 fitness is going to be a fun year, because I do believe that if you look at your fitness as a year long journey and a map and a plan, then you're going to be able to map out exactly what you need to do for the year. Like maybe the first part of the year is weight loss, and then it's going to be into performance, and then maybe it's a marathon, and then you take the summers off, and then, you know, you come back and it's weight loss again. And then it's, you know, it's, I'm going to plan for snowboard season, and then I'm going to be in, you know, in maintenance and chaos mode or fun mode in November. I'm going to be in fun mode in November, and I'm going to be in maintenance mode in December. Knowing that, and knowing that there is a start and finish to each phase that you are in, are going to give people this huge just weight off of them to know I'm mapping out my year and doing what I need to be able to do. I think year-long maps are going to become a staple in the health and fitness business rather than 30, 60, 90, because those things just don't work. I do believe in the specificity. I talked a little bit about that. I think that the specificity of people, I'm going to teach a whole entire program this year about choosing the right programs for you, not choosing something too advanced, how to develop patterns and habits and get into a place where you're going to be able to fall back on top of the patterns and habits that you've built, rather than going, you know, I'm starting way over at a level one, but I'm going to get a level eight program. Well, you know what happens is that at a level one, if you're in a level eight program and you fail, you fail back to a level one, not to a level six or a seven or a five. You're at a one again, because you're just like, oh, I'm just going to go back to where I was. So this is why I think year-long programs and developing patterns and habits, wellness is going to come into effect, and that's going to be with your nutrition, and that's going to be with your fitness. And I don't believe one size fits all programs for you to be able to do that. I don't believe I believe there's going to be a push of awareness that knowing that synchronized, sequenced group exercise programs are not training programs. I think that awareness is coming. They do work, and I think that they're wonderful, but they're way different than having a personal trainer design a program for you instead of, you know, just sequencing group exercise classes into a training program. They're great for you to show up. They're great for you to get results. And they're great for you to stay in the zip code, right? They are. They're amazing. But if and when you get to that level of specificity where you desire and or need a more focused program, you're going to be like, that's the program I need. I need to get away from these other ones. So I do believe that training programs are going to skyrocket. I think people are like, the focus group is going to be like, this is great. And the ones that are unfocused are like, this is great. I'm in this maintenance, you know, I'm in this phase, and I'm going to be able to do it. I think cycles and phases are going to be huge in 2025. People are just going to know I'm in this phase. Careful. Start and stop. Make sure that you know that this is when you start that phase and this is when you're going to end that phase. Okay. If you want to talk about phases, reach out to me. I'd be more than happy to talk about what phase you are in, where you are at, how long a phase should be, whether it's weight loss, power, endurance, cardio. There are codes for that, right? Like, you definitely don't want to be in a weight loss phase anymore, you know, a lean phase anymore than 60 days. You just don't. But I know people that are in it for 2 years and you're just like, oh, gosh, that's why you're struggling. That's why your endocrine system's fried. That's how your metabolism is done. That's why you're struggling. That's why you're mentally burnt. You've been in a lean phase for a year. Ah, you poor thing. So reach out to me. Let's see what we can do to help you out. I do believe that community is going to be big, but I think that it's going to be in-person community. I think that online communities are great, and they're going to be a place for knowledge and support and to find other people that are just like you. And I think that communities are going to be places that the new community is going to be a place where you find other people like you rather than you're listening to experts. I think that, you know, you're going to have people like me who run communities, but you're not going to come there really to see me. You're going to come there to see your friends and see the people that are just like you and to find that so that you guys can work together and talk together and motivate and be accountable and seek information for people that are just like you rather than I'm just here for Mike, you know, and I think that's wonderful. I would rather see a community run itself than me run a community. It's more crickets in there when that happens. So I do believe community is big. Like look at run clubs right now. They're beyond one of the biggest things in fitness. They're everything from singles to happy hours to hangouts to getting out of the house. It's going to be huge to be in some sort of fitness club. And you know who did that the best? CrossFit. CrossFit had one of the greatest communities ever, and somehow it got destroyed. I don't know if, you know, if it was the consumer that destroyed it or CrossFit itself destroyed it, but CrossFit was single-handedly the best at building the most balanced, standardized community against everybody because nobody felt as though they were any lesser or any better. It was amazing. Like I CrossFitted for a long time and it was incredible, but community will be one of those things that you want to be able to push into. I'm just kind of looking here to see if there's anything else. Acceptance, strengthening, not optimized blood. Let me just see if I got anything else. Because again, I'm up to 45 minutes. So I don't want to take up too much of your time. But these are the things that I'm looking at that I want you to be aware of that as you start to, you know, get involved in them. And I mentioned a lot of things today. And it's not your job to take them all on, right? It's your job to take on the things that resonated with you and be aware of and be like, oh, Mike talked about that. And maybe I should be aware of certain things, you know, as I begin to push into that phase. And if there's, you know, if you're in a phase and you want to push into that and if I've got information on it, please either follow me. I'm going to become an informational conduit this year. Like that's all I want to do is just educate you guys with all of the experience and knowledge that I've had helping other people with their wellness. It's a big thing for me to see people well. Seeing sick people is really hard for me. Really difficult to see and to watch people struggle when I know it could have been prevented just from either support, information, you know, affirmation, anything, just someone reaching out, you know, it's hard for me to see somebody struggle. Like in any way, shape, or form. And that's why I'm known for not shutting up and giving too much information. You ask me a question and then 10 minutes later, I've answered it and along with 18 other things. And people are like, geez, I just asked you one question. But it's because I want you to have everything you possibly could have to be fit, man. Like it's just the way I am. I know what it's like not to have people support me. I know what it's like not to have a mentor. I know what it's like to wonder why other people are succeeding and I'm not, and I know what it's like to look around and feel as though, you know, no one's helping you, but they're helping each other. So here I am, ask away, let me help you. Like I want to be able to do that for you. I'm just seeing if there's anything else. I mean, there's so many things that are going to happen, but I think that those are my big ones. As far as everything that's going on, let me just see. I just want to make sure that I cover it. AI, you know, yep. We covered biohacking. We covered everything. I think that's it, you guys. I think that in general, that's going to be it, man. I think you're going to, you know, awareness, wellness, acceptance are going to be big words. Because we've reached that with a lot of us. And I think that those people that don't believe in that are outliers now, right? Like the majority of us accept other people. The majority of us are aware of other people. The majority of us, you know, want to be well and want wellness. And the ones that push agendas in other areas, well, they're agenda pushers. They're not about you. They're about them and their agenda. And I think that that's going to be the issue. And it's going to stand out really cool, you know, where you're going to see that. So this awareness that happened and the challenges that we had happen in 22 and 23 and 24, I think, you know, into 25, it's going to be you're going to see a lot more symmetry. I think you're going to see, you know, I think that we've got, it's going to be one of the biggest changes in the history of our country as far as wellness in 2025. I think we're looking at single-handedly becoming a healthier country and changing the wellness of each and every one of us in some way, shape, or form, whether it's through our knowledge, whether it's through what we're doing and practicing. And because we're, you know, yeah, I just feel it. Like I feel it in my heart of all hearts. Let's see. I just want to make sure that I covered everything else. Health coaching, wellness. Guys, and if you think I missed any, let me know. Please just drop it down below. Let's talk. You know, let me know what I missed. Because obviously I did. I don't know everything, but I do know quite a bit. But let me know what you think should be on this list as far as, you know, what the trends for 2025 are. Drop it. If you're watching me on YouTube, watch it down below, or just drop it down below, share, like, comment, start banter with me, you know, disagree with me, say, Mike, you're completely wrong. I'm always up to hear your side, your opinion, your education, whatever that you want to be able to say. But, you know, obviously I think the big ones that I'll get pushback on are mental health is dead. Because it's a diagnosed thing in my opinion. And I think what we're talking about is wellness. I think that, I think older adults are going to become more fit. Like that. How about that? I think that older adults are gonna become more fit. I think that we're looking at people that are like want to move more. I mean, I just do. I think that, you know, the fit identity way of life is, you know, think bigger, eat better, move more. That is what I think everybody is going to take. It's a real simple ideology if you take that in. I got a lot of great things coming in the new year. Fit identity course. I got a, that will happen in Think, Eat, and Move. Who knows, maybe an app. I always have my app with my workouts in my community. If you guys need to get into one of those, let me know. We can hook that up. And I don't know. I think that's it. You know, I just, you know, the more I sat back and thought about 2024 and the brand fit identity and where I sat with it, I was like, is it a name that I want? Is it, we can address this later, but it's a name that I want or like, or, you know, it, will it stand up the test of time because of the term identity? It's just like, it's just who you are. You know, it's the shortest word of who you are. That's all that it was. And I just wanted you to be the best you. Like, that's really why I chose that. And I just wanted you to have the identity that you wanted to have in your health. That's why I chose the name. And I just felt that we were all different in that way. And it would be cool to be like, hey, you know, like, do your think, eat, and move your way and be healthier. And then let's figure out a way to develop patterns and habits and systems that you can fall back on, regress, and progress. So that's where I'm at, guys. So any comments, let me know. Obviously, subscribe to the podcast, subscribe to the channel, you know, like, share, comment, do me that favor, you know, hate me, like me, do all the things that you do. You know, I'm still going to be me. All right, guys, I will talk to you later. Until next episode, think bigger, eat better, move more.